Our Old Testament lesson comes from Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 14 through 16. Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 14 through 16. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David. He shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell securely. This is the name by which it will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Well, Father, as we read these words from an ancient prophet to an ancient people, pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, they would be made applicable to us today. Break through all of the distractions that we surround ourselves with, the things that occupy our minds and our hearts, and allow us to hear your Holy Spirit speaking to us, showing us Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. These words from Jeremiah are hope-filled words, and they kind of go along with our season. December is a hope-filled season, and Christmas is just around the corner, and everybody's got hopes. Maybe you are hoping to unwrap a particular toy. I addressed the kids in the first service, and I thought, no, there's probably some adults that are hoping to unwrap a particular toy this Christmas as well. Maybe it's a toy that you're hoping for. Maybe it's some family and friends that you haven't seen in a long time who are coming in from out of town and you're hoping to enjoy that celebration with them. Maybe that you're hoping for an old wound to heal, for a relationship that was broken to be patched together and repaired. Maybe you're just simply hoping that next year is better than this year. But do you know the context for Jeremiah's hopeful words? It wasn't so hopeful. He's writing from a decidedly unhopeful place. If you have your Bibles with you, you can open them up to Jeremiah chapter 33 and look at verse 1, where Jeremiah is writing from. He says, "The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of the guard." Jeremiah is in prison, and the city of Jerusalem is on the verge of being destroyed. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, is laying siege against Jerusalem. The hopes and the dreams of God's people are smoldering piles of ruin around them, and Jeremiah dares speak of hope. But isn't that when we need hope the most? We need hope when everything is going wrong around us. Because hope isn't just a pleasant Pollyanna-ish concept or thought to carry us through life. Hope is a full-throated protest. Hope looks at the world the way that it is and says, this is not the way that it should be. My life isn't the way that it should be. We hope because we know that the world is supposed to be different. We know that we're supposed to be different. Jeremiah, a prophet of God, speaking the word of the Lord, tells the people of God that the future will be different. Israel and Judah will be safe, no longer terrorized by larger nations that surround them. Justice and righteousness will be the norm rather than the exception. Jerusalem will even get a new name. Did you notice that in verse 16? Jeremiah says that they will be called, "The Lord is our righteousness." Sometimes when someone like me speaks of hope, some of you cry a little bit on the inside. For you, hope feels like a luxury that you can't quite afford. Maybe your hope has been dashed too many times. Your confidence that you, the people that you put hope in, your confidence in them has been crushed because they haven't come through for you. You gave hope a chance, but your circumstances haven't changed. And so when someone tells you to hope, it might feel like a cruel joke. But I want you to see that Jeremiah's words of hope are not grounded in the people who hear them. His hearers aren't called to have hope in themselves. Their hope isn't left up to them. It's not based on anything that they would be able to do. He doesn't tell them to hope, say, in an alliance with Egypt. He doesn't tell them to hope that perhaps they could bribe Nebuchadnezzar with gold and silver. He doesn't tell them to hope that the walls of Jerusalem would withstand the siege. No, their hope isn't in anything that they are, anything that they can do. Their hope is in a branch, a righteous branch, Jeremiah calls it in verse 15. Isaiah also speaks of this branch in his parallel prophecy in Isaiah chapter 11, and he calls it a branch from the stump of Jesse. Now, that's a nice thought, but I've got to be honest with you, a branch doesn't give me much hope. If the hurricane force winds of life are blowing against me, I don't want to be holding on to a branch. Sarah and I lived in California. We moved into a new housing development, and if you've ever lived in a new house with new plantings, new trees, new shrubs, or maybe you've planted a new tree at your house, you know that when you plant the tree, they don't come fully grown. In fact, these new trees look a lot like simple branches. And what do they have on either side of them? They have wooden stakes to try to keep them from blowing over. They can't protect themselves, much less anybody else. I don't want a branch. I want a mighty oak tree with roots sunk down deeply into the ground that's withstood hurricanes for hundreds of years. I want a giant sequoia tree that has stood for centuries. Something that reaches up into the highest heavens. That's what I want to wrap my arms around. And honestly, that's what I think I'm holding on to. Often when I'm casting about looking for something to hope in. I'm trying to find things that will stand the test of time. I'm trying to hope in people or in places that won't let me down. But honestly, none of the people I've ever trusted in have been strong enough to sustain my hope. In fact, I don't think there is a person alive. There's no institution. There's no skill or ability or promise. There's nothing in me and there's nothing in you that is strong enough to sustain our hopes. And that's because hope is a proxy for righteousness. Hope looks past our current standing and it sees a better day. We think that whatever we're putting our hope in, whoever we're putting our hope in, can get us to that time, can get us to that place, can set things right for us, for our family, for our nation, for our world. And friends, that's why we're so often disappointed. We're trying to hope in people or places or institutions that can't carry righteousness. They can't convey righteousness. They can't set things right. Only God can secure the rightness that we need. Well, this is a problem not just for us. It was a problem in Jeremiah's day too. They had traded hope in the Lord for hope in idols, false gods. They had traded hope in the Lord for hope in kings who rebelled against God. They had traded hope in the Lord for hope in alliances with other nations, hope in economics, hope in themselves. Sounds a lot like our day. But God began to remove everything that they had hoped in. He chopped it down. He chopped down all the people that they had hoped in. He chopped down all the places that they had hoped in. All the institutions that they had hoped in disappeared. It was all reduced to rubble And Jeremiah says that not even the dynasty of David would be spared. He chopped it down to the ground, down to the stump, as Isaiah says, to the root of Jesse. Do you understand the implications of what Jeremiah is saying? God will not hesitate to take away even his good gifts if we put our hope and trust in them. The same kind of hope and trust that only belongs to God alone. Many of you, as I've heard your stories over these last few weeks, are feeling a bit like a chopped tree recently. You thought that life would be okay because you finally had the job of your dreams, the person of your dreams, the house of your dreams, the life of your dreams. But then the chopping began. One branch after another chopped away. And pretty soon there's not much left. No fruit, no branches, not even a trunk. Some of you feel like you're a stump that's been cut close to the ground. But friends, that's exactly where the Lord wants us. He cuts away everything that we glory in. And he brings us to the point where we have no hope except in the Lord. And that's when the righteous branch springs up. You see, the rod of Jesse, the righteous branch that the people of God must hope in, is God himself. It's Jesus of Nazareth, the incarnation of God. He's more than just a descendant of David, this new growth from an old stump. He is the promise of David's dynasty brought back to life. He is a king for Israel who will lead God's people in righteousness. He is a king for Israel who will never go astray or lead his people astray. He is a king for Israel who is the very incarnation of Israel's God. And the people of Jerusalem knew that. They believed that. That's why on Palm Sunday they cried out to him, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." But even the righteous branch, even Jesus, would be chopped down, smitten by God and afflicted, cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of his people, Isaiah 53 says. The righteous branch will himself be reduced to a stump of a man. The incarnate God will be cut down for the sins of his people. But in this moment of divine weakness, we actually get what we have longed for from every other person, every other place, every other thing that has felt the death grip of our hope. In that moment, Jesus secures for us the rightness that only God can provide. In the life and in the death and resurrection of Jesus, God sets things right for us. Well, folks, you know as well as I do that Jesus isn't an easy answer for whatever problem you feel most keenly today. Loving Jesus and trusting Jesus doesn't mean that your problems instantly vanish. And Jeremiah, he isn't giving the people of Jerusalem an easy answer to their most pressing need either. In fact, the people who hear this prophecy, they will still go into exile. These hope-filled words will ring in their ears as they still suffer loss and death. But they will hold on to that hope. That day that Jeremiah says, when all that is wrong will be made right. Our other scripture passages that we read this morning tell of that same day. A day for which the psalmist waits, knowing that when that day appears, he will be vindicated and he will triumph over his enemies. The day, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, when our Lord Jesus will come with all of his saints. The day when the Son of Man comes again in a cloud with power and great glory, as Luke's gospel says. On that day, he will execute righteousness and justice. On that day, the people of God, gathered together into the city of God, will have a new name. The Lord is our righteousness. You and I live between these times. Because Jesus, the righteous branch, did come, a certain fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy has already come to pass. His life, his death, his resurrection, it has secured for us the righteousness that one day will characterize us so completely that it will be our very name. But until that day dawns, we long for that day when our unholy hearts will be established blameless in holiness, when our redemption draws near enough for us to touch. The season of Advent forces us to look in two directions at the same time. Back to the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago, and forward to his second coming, to his second advent. And friends, as you look, as you wait, you can wait with hope, with confidence, hoping in the God who is the only one who can sustain the weight of our hopes, hoping that as certainly as he has come before, he will come again. When he does, our hope will be proven to have not been in vain. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, rescue us from all of the places and the people and the things that we wrongly put our hopes. Rescue them from misplaced hopes. Fix our eyes as Jeremiah fixed the eyes of Jerusalem on the great day yet to come. Father, may we long for that day. May we labor for that day. May we be found faithful, hoping in Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.